This past summer, when I was at the UCC's General Synod in Long Beach, I was actually on my way out of the restroom, and I ran into one of my former pastors at the church where I grew up. And we had lunch and talked for a while, and I asked him a few questions about when he was the pastor back in my church when I was a young lad. And one of the things I asked him about was a huge conflict that blew up when I was in high school between him and the moderator and the council president and all of this, which, I mean, there was, and the way I remember it and the way I witnessed it at the time was all of this jostling for position. It was all about how he was using power and whose authority, who had what authority to do what. And there was, again, this jostling for position that ended with him being forced to resign, with the council president resigning and the vice or the moderator resigning. And even they even brought in an outside consultant and to help resolve the issue. And she was run out of the church because people said she was biased. And it was a whole mess. And it ended with the church being decimated to about half of what it once was. And Since there's been a lot of healing and the church has grown back, and I believe it's probably bigger than it was before, but maybe some of you have experienced, I don't know, maybe some of you have experienced that in some kind of community that you've been involved in, and maybe even a church. This is a church you tried out as kind of giving church a second chance. After you'd been burned by a community previously. And I think when it comes to churches, we want to expect more, and probably we should, than other organizations we might be involved in. But I believe the reality is that we are all, in some way, broken people. We all have wounds, we all have hurts, we all have desires and preferences. And when broken people get close, there's going to be conflict, and there's going to be struggle, and there's going to be some hurt. And that's why every book in the New Testament, and every book, I would say, in the Bible as a whole, directly teaches on, or at the very least tells a story about, the difficulty of community. Every book in the New Testament has some instance where a community is having trouble being community together, conflict is arising, and it is addressed. And this is the question is not, will there be conflict, but how do we manage? Not just manage, how do we bring healing and reconciliation? How do we thrive and grow through conflict? Because I'm sure all of us could also point to situations in our lives where we've experienced conflict and come out on the other side stronger and better. And one of the tips that Paul gives as he speaks about how love is at the heart of community today is that love does not jostle for position. Love doesn't jostle for position. We're specifically looking at where Paul says love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. These are things that love doesn't do. So what does that mean? First of all, love does not envy. And envy is when we want something because someone else has it. It's kind of the keeping up with the Joneses mentality. It's not that I deeply need it. It's not anything, but someone else has it and I want it. I want that position. I want the authority. I want the attention. I want whatever it is that comes with what they have. And Paul says love does not envy. In the Corinthian church, there was this battle for who was the most gifted, who had the best speaking gifts, who could speak in tongues, who had the gifts of prophecy, who was the most gifted, talented, and thus most loved by God person in the congregation. And Paul says, love does not envy. What's interesting is that this word for envy is the word from which we get zeal. And he says that love is not zealous, but actually in chapter 12:31, he uses the same word. He says, strive for the greater gifts. Be zealous for the greater gifts. So it's not zeal in itself. It's not wanting something in itself that's wrong. It's what you want and why you want it. In chapter 14, he picks up this line of being zealous, striving for the greater gifts. And in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, pursue love and strive, be zealous for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. And his reasoning for telling them to be zealous for that is because prophecy can help others, can benefit others. Prophecy is speaking God's word to someone. It says the gifts you should strive for are not the ones that get you position, but the ones that benefit other people. So love is not envy. In fact, the opposite of that might be love celebrates. When someone else has a gift, to celebrate it, to encourage it, to help them grow in that gift and use it for the benefit of the community. Love does not boast. Boasting is making much of myself. Making much of myself. This is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. But what it seems to be is this kind of verbal posturing. In 1 Corinthians 3, we see that the Corinthians are having these fights where some people will say, well, I follow Paul, the Apostle Paul. And some are saying, well, I follow Apollos, this other apostle. And some are saying, well, I just follow Jesus. And we all know those people who just follow Jesus, right? And there's this verbal posturing about who is better, who's in the right camp. Paul says, love does not boast. And he contrasts this with how he comes to the Corinthians. He said, I did not come with eloquent speech. I did not come just talking the talk. He says, I came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. In other words, I didn't come to you just talking the talk, making much of myself. I came to you and displayed the power of the Holy Spirit, which didn't make much of me. The power of the Holy Spirit makes much of God. That's the opposite of boasting. Not making much of myself, but making much of the one who deserves to be made much of. Love is not arrogant. It's a great word. It means puffed up. It's used 7 times in the New Testament, 6 times in the letter to the Corinthians. So we know that they had a little temptation to be puffed up. My favorite verse is in 1 Corinthians 8. They're having this argument, and Paul says, now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. And then he says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I love that verse. Being puffed up is claiming some sort of authority without having a certain kind of character. I want you to picture a puffer fish, right? Puffer fishes, they swim around, they're kind of these small little creatures, but when they sense danger, they puff themselves up. They are not bigger, they are not more substantial, they are not more dangerous, they just look like it. Whereas Paul has already said that love is substance. Puffer fishes get bigger with air that can just be deflated. Love is like a muscle. When we grow in love, we get bigger, but it's substantial. It's something that actually benefits others and builds up others. Love in God's kingdom doesn't make oneself bigger, it makes oneself smaller. That's the incarnation, that's Christmas. God made himself small so that he could serve us and build us up and relate to us. And finally, love is not rude. And it's not really the best word maybe. Love does not bring disgrace is maybe a better word. And it's the idea of doing something just because I can. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care if anyone else is offended. I don't care what, I'm going to do it because I can and I want to. And we do this all the time. I don't care what God says. I don't care what other people say. I can do it, and I'm going to do it. And this is going on in Corinth as well. How they dress, how they talk to each other, all of this creates division. They have a right to do it. Everything is permissible. I'm allowed to do whatever I want, they say. And Paul says, but that's not the point. The point isn't doing what you want because you can. The point is what is beneficial to the community. And so this is what doesn't come out when 1 Corinthians 13 is read at weddings. You know, it is a beautiful chapter that is appropriate for relationships in itself, but in essence, 1 Corinthians 13, in the context of Paul's letter, is a scolding. It says, look at how you're doing community. It's so different than what God is calling you to. It's so different from what love is. All of the ways that they're practicing community were self-focused, shining the spotlight on myself, pitting one person against another, all at the expense of the community. And Paul says, the practices of love focus not on what benefits me, what gains me position, but what is for the common good, for the good of the community, and what fosters goodwill among the people. Now, how does that relate to our church, to our community? And try as I might, I couldn't really make this into a really strong rebuke to this church this week. Because, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, tell me about your church, and other pastors ask and all this. And I say, you know what, one thing I love about Point Place UCC is this community is not pretentious. I don't feel like there's a lot of jostling for position or authority. You know, I'm sure it goes on, and I'm sure we all participated in it a little bit at times, but I don't feel like that is one of the big issues in this church community. And I am grateful for that. I encourage you in that, and it is a good thing. So at the same time, we can, though, keep asking ourselves, how can we continue to grow together? How can we continue to grow in love and build ourselves up? What are some of the ways that we might posture? And as I was thinking about it, you know, just a couple that I would throw out there. What are some of the ways we do divide ourselves? Is there pride in any way? Is there generational pride? Is there this kind of idea that, well, my generation does it this way, and the other generation are wrong, they're less than? Older folks, well, the kids these days, or young people these days, they just don't value church, they don't commit, they don't do these things like we do. Younger folks, oh, those, they're just all these stodgy old folks who just like to do things the way they always done them, that kind of thing. These are things that maybe we think, and they just divide us. I know for myself, as far as posturing goes, sometimes we can look to a pastor as kind of a spiritual giant because I have lots of knowledge about the Bible and about the church and all of these things, and it can look like the pastor is very puffed up, and sometimes I might even use that knowledge to puff up and look a little bit more spiritual than I am. And we need to hold the pastor accountable and hold one another accountable to say, no, it's not about who has the most knowledge, who knows the most. You're not less because you know less about the Bible than me. I'm not more because I know more about the Bible than you. What we need to do is to grow in love, and that's something we can all participate in, and that we can all grow in. And then a little reminder for ourselves, how much time do we spend talking about ourselves, telling me stories, telling stories where I'm the hero? And how much time do we spend listening? Because listening is what builds community. We can all grow in love. Each one of us is called to make much of God. Each one of us is called to put Christ at the center of our lives. Each one of us is called to put mission and how I'm serving others at the forefront when I wake up each morning. When the tempter, when the devil comes to Jesus, all of his temptations are about position. You can be famous. You can be powerful. You can be a hero. And what we see as Jesus faces each of these temptations is that Jesus is not in it for himself. He's not in it for his position. You see, if he just wanted to be king and have power and fame and to own people and have control, this would have been a pretty good deal for him that the devil's offering him. But what Jesus is seeking is not position. What Jesus is seeking is community. And the community can only be gained through love. Through God making himself small, taking the form of a human being, a lowly human being, by serving us, by healing, by dying for us. This is how community happens. This is why Jesus came. This is why we were made. Love doesn't jostle for position. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It doesn't puff itself up. It doesn't just do whatever it wants because it can. Love does whatever it can to benefit the community, to build the community of God's people. Amen?